Mr. Painting, Reel 13. The local lord entertain you as well?
When are you going to be discharged from hospital? We could hobble about on our feet. The burgomaster came and collected us and showed us round the town and then took us up to the top of the church, the Dunkirchen, he called it, and said, now from there, you'll see those islands there. Those two belong to Denmark, and the island farther along belongs to Germany. He said, you can have your last look at Germany. And after that, we had a cup of tea with them. And then in the evening, Private Meredith and I were the guests of the Kammerherr von Steeman to dinner at night. And the gentlemen there with their orders on, and the ladies there with their evening dress on. And each course that came in, a different wine was served with the course, according to it. And after the dinner, the assembled multitude, I had to address all the ladies and gentlemen and tell them all about our prisoner of war experiences and how kind the Danes had been to us and how much we appreciated it. And then we were leaving for Copenhagen to go and see the consul, and we left on a 10 o'clock train, and 300 people in Denmark escorted us up to the station and gave us a real royal send-off. No other way of saying it. They were good. Well, we travelled all night. We went across the mainland, Funland, and then we crossed over the narrow belt into the other island, and then we crossed over the sound into the... We had to cross over that on the ferry, but in the same train. Mm-hmm. And we got to Copenhagen the next morning, saw the consul there, and we were accommodated in the sailor's home for a couple of days. And we were shown around Copenhagen, a sight of Copenhagen. I've still got a spoon with Copenhagen on it. I'll show mm-hmm. it to you. Shown around the sights, and our passports were made out, photographs and passports made out, and we were told that we would go to Bergen, cross over to Malmo, over the Baltic to Malmo, and I came over on my own. Meredith had to stay behind, but left and went to, crossed over from Copenhagen across to Malmo, then up through Ed and Gothenburg, Christiania, as it's called, then Oslo now. The consul at Copenhagen gave me 10 kroners, for 18 kroners to the pound, just over 10 shillings, to spend on the train in anything I wanted. And then I got to Bergen, and when I got to when we got to Bergen there, saw the consul at Bergen, and he took the passport off me, and he said it wouldn't do for you to have a passport on as you're going over the water, you see. But he gave me a note to the aliens officer at Newcastle in lieu of a passport. Of course, had the consular stamp and everything on it, you see.
Can I ask, was that the first passport you'd ever seen? Because passports didn't normally exist.
Oh, well, that was the first passport. Mm. And he gave me 10 kroners again, because the kroner is currently in Denmark, Sweden and Norway. It's all the same value. So I got on the boat, and the name of the boat was Zeta, which I think Zeta is the name of one of the stars in the North Pole constellation. Mm-hmm. I think it is. Anyway, the name of the ship was Zeta, and he said, now, if you're pulled up by a German submarine, this note hasn't got to be found on you. You've got to eat it or do something with it. But anyway, we weren't pulled up by a German submarine. We were pulled up by two of our destroyers. One covered us while the other pulled us up and examined the ship's papers. And then we were allowed to go on and got to Newcastle. Well, I got to Newcastle. The aliens officer took this letter off me and gave me a note to give to the regimental transport officer, the railway transport officer. So I got to the railway transport officer's office at Newcastle, and he was just going to lunch. So he didn't see me. He said, come back after lunch. I went to listen to, there was a recruiting meeting. I went out in the town, recruiting meeting. Of course, it was all strange to me, England was. I saw men there with a green armband and with a crown on it. I didn't know what it was, but it was explained to me that those people who were wearing that had signified their intention of joining the army when they were called up, or the armed forces, you see, when they were called up. So I hadn't got one, but a young lady came up to me and she gave me a white feather. So I was very, very green. I didn't know what the white feather was for. Well, I pretended to anyway. So I said to the young lady, I said, oh, I said, what's this for? Oh, she said, you're a young man of military age, and you're not in the forces, and you're not wearing a green armband. Say that you will go when you're called. Oh, I said, I see what you're doing now. You're pushing the lads in the service, and as I'm not in the service, this white feather is because I'm a chicken hearted. So I undid in my little bundle, which was, I got tied up in this handkerchief, which was given me in Denmark. Mm-hmm. See, that's the map of Europe on it, which is now more or less gone, you see, it was the map of Europe on it. I got my gear in there. I pulled out my Danish English dictionary, which was given to me, and showed her the inscription on the fly leaf. I also showed her my pay book, which was shot to pieces on the Ain. I said, well, I said, I'm a soldier. I said, you can see where I come from. I said, I was a prisoner of war. I said, and I escaped from Germany. I said, I'm going back to the regiment now to do a little bit more. I said, you don't often see a soldier in wartime in plain clothes. I said, so, I said, your mistake is easily rectified. The poor girl didn't know where to put her face. I kept that white feather for a long while, but of course it's gone now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned that, did I?
Hmm.
I was presented with a...
Yes.
Now, where have I lost that? I had one of my envelopes with my address.
Could you... describe what happened when you got on the train and to rejoin the regiment.
We left Copenhagen. The consul had passport. The Copenhagen had passports made out for us, or for me, and then he gave me 10 kroners for travelling. Well, yes, I got the wrong thing. I listened to the recruiting meeting, and the RTO said, come back after lunch. Well, I went back, and after, I'd only got 2 shillings left when I got to England, so he gave me a warrant. I gave him the paper, you see, from the aliens officer. Gave him my regimental particulars, 7320, Sergeant T.H. Painting, King's Royal Rifle Corps, Depot Winchester, where I'd come from. So he gave me a railway warrant, made out properly, you know, regimentally, to travel from Newcastle to Winchester. And I said, well, I haven't any money. So he said, and I can't get to Newcastle, I shan't get to Winchester till tomorrow, leaving this time of night, she's to come down from Newcastle. So I asked him if he would give me a casual payment of 5 shillings, knowing that he could make out a warrant for me on the authority. He wouldn't give me a casual payment, which you could recover from the regimental paymaster. I said, well, I said, will you give me a personal loan? As a sergeant, you've got my particulars. So will you give me a personal loan of 5 shillings? He wouldn't do that. So I left Newcastle on the 5 o'clock train at night, or somewhere after 5 o'clock at night, and travelled down to King's Cross. Coming down in the train, I was talking to people in the train. Someone gave me some sandwiches, very nice. Well, when I got to King's Cross, I made my way over to Waterloo. There was no train going to Winchester, so I settled down on a platform seat. A porter came along to me and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Winchester. He said, well, there's no train here tomorrow, you can't stop here. I said, well, I said, I don't know. I said, I'm a soldier, I'm on a warrant. I said, and I've got no money. So he went and fetched 2 red caps. Well, these 2 military police came along. I showed them my particulars, you see. They said, well, you can't stop here. There's no train going into the morning. Said, you can go down to the Salvation Army Doss House down Waterloo Road, and you'll get a cup of tea and a wad. You'll get a light shakedown on a bed, a cup of tea and a wad for a penny. So I went down. I spent my first night in England in the Salvation Army Doss House, Waterloo Road. And for my breakfast, I had a cup of tea and a wad. I went to the station and got the train. Well, instead of going straight down to the depot, the girl I was engaged to was living with her sister, who was the wife of a second lieutenant officer who was taken prisoner with me. And they were living there, so I said, I made my way from Basingstoke. I had to pass to Basingstoke, so I paid my fare from Basingstoke to Whitchurch, where she was living, which is only 12 miles, and went and saw them, of course, naturally, you see. Well, then, after I'd done that, I went back to Basingstoke, got on the train and went down to Winchester, reported at Winchester. It was only a couple of hours out of the way. Anyway, it did that. Got to Winchester, and in particulars, I was interviewed there, slept the night in barracks, and then was taken down to the returned X-Force camp. The barracks were used for training people, you see, and instructors and all those who were getting trained to go out. But all the wounded ex-returned force men, they were down in Hutman's, down in Early Road. Mm-hmm. So I was taken down there. Well, then the next day, Newcastle on the train sometime after 5 p.m. During the train journey, I talked to a fellow passenger who gave me some sandwiches. On arrival at King's Cross, I made my way to Waterloo. There was not a train leaving for Winchester until the morning. I settled on a station bench. A porter came and asked me where I was going. I replied, to Winchester on a military warrant. The porter fetched 2 military police. I explained my situation. They told me that I could get a bed and a cup of tea at the Salvation Army Doss House near Waterloo Station. I spent the night there, had my cup of tea and a bun in the morning, then made my way to the station, and eventually arrived at Winchester and reported to the rifle depot on the 3rd of the December 1915. And taken to a hutted camp occupied by the wounded X-Force men who were recovering. The next day, I was medically inspected, attended orderly room, congratulated by the commanding officer on escaping, then completely fitted out with uniform and necessary kit. The daughter of a major general who lived in Winchester had sent me food parcels when I was a prisoner of war. I wrote and informed the lady I'd escaped and was in the rifle depot camp Winchester, and would like to thank her personally for her kindness. The lady replied and said that she would be at home, would be pleased to receive me, and would be at home between 12 and 1 p.m. or between 3 and 4 p.m. afternoon. The morning I received our letter, I was ordered to be at the HQ order room at 9 a.m. I waited until 12 noon and was not wanted. I left barracks and went to thank the lady who received me graciously. I returned to Early Road camp and met the company sergeant major. Had a little conversation and casually asked him what the time was. He replied, 1:25 p.m. I'd established an alibi that I was in at what time I was in camp. Sooner after I left to thank the lady, the adjutant wanted me. Not being there, later in the day, I was placed in open arrest for leaving barracks before 2 p.m. Next morning, I appeared before my company officer. Being a sergeant and being placed in arrest by the adjutant's orders, the OC company reminded me for the commanding officer's disposal. The charge sheet was sent to the adjutant, who saw me and said, I can't send you to the CO on this charge. You will leave Winchester on the 10 o'clock train and go to Salisbury and see the GOC, Southern Command. I said, go to Salisbury and see the general, sir. I said, my clothes fit me where they touch me. I said, my boots have got no polish on or anything. He said, you're going to see the general. We've reported your arrival and he wants to see you. You will leave Winchester on the 10 a.m. train and go to Salisbury and see the GOC Southern Command. I was met at Salisbury railway station by a police sergeant and escorted to HQ. Met by one of the officers who I'd served with in Egypt. The GOC Southern Command was Lieutenant General Sir William Pitcairn Campbell, CB, late King's Royal Rifle Corps. And the General was surrounded by his staff and welcomed me, congratulating me on my escape. I related my experiences to the General turmoil. Afterwards, the General and staff went to lunch. I had lunch with the General and Lady Campbell, then tea with Colonel Lloyd and wife, to whom I related the fight at Vernouillet on the 14th September, where their son, Lieutenant Lloyd, was badly wounded. Talking about Mr. Lloyd, wasn't yes. I? He was badly wounded. I was then taken to General Campbell for dinner. After dinner, to the railway station by a police.